to the Bible. It's your good friend, Aaron. Hope everyone is having an amazing day. I just need to share a couple cool things. I have lots to share, but we'll just stick with a few things, a couple things. So some of y'all may have listened to the recording from 3 days ago. And what were we in? We were in Luke chapter 10. I think it was actually on May 10th when I did that. So anyway, in that recording in Luke 10, we read about Mary and Martha. How Martha was worried and working and busy trying to be a good hostess with the mostess, but she was doing too much because she started to get upset at her sister Mary, who was just sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him talk. And I talked about on that podcast about how as Christians there needs to be a balance. So at times we can be like Mary. I'll just give an example. There is this ministry here in Kansas City that had 24-hour prayer, and a lot of people accused a lot of those students there at this ministry of being a lot like Mary. Like, this is the classic example of being too heavenly minded and of no earthly good, or those types that just all they want to do is pray and worship all day long, right? Read the Bible, pray, worship for hours all day long. But you look at their bank accounts and you look at their bills and it's like, ma'am, you need to go get a job. You need to go make some money to pay these billies. And those people are looked at as lazy. You know, and ideally, honestly, that's really what all we should all be doing all day long, really. Spending time in worship, prayer, reading God's word, which is the way he speaks to us. Just spending time with God and with other Christians, other people, in fellowship. But we live in a world that's so busy. It's run by Martha. Work, 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 especially in the United States. Work, 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 work. And everything is so expensive. I was just having a conversation with a young lady about 2/3 of the average Americans, or somebody in the United States, 2/3 of our income goes toward rent. Just rent and, you know, utilities. It didn't used to always be that way. But yeah, rent prices just keep going up. But they don't want to pay people more. So I say this world system doesn't want to pay more. While these CEOs keep making bonuses, record bonuses. But regular folks, and then they're like, sorry, we can't pay you more. Anyway, whatever. They'll have to give their account. And on Judgment Day, they had their heaven here on earth. So we were reading about that, right? And then, I kid you not, this morning on the Bible app, under the kids section, it was talking about Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha. Coincidence? Quinky dink? I think not. And in the video, I've seen that video before with that lady, this white, pretty white lady. And she's playing the role of Martha and Mary by herself. But she is like, she says the thing that Mary had that Martha didn't was peace. And so the thing we can learn is in all of our, like anytime we don't have peace, internal peace, chances are there's something off. Now, the world would say, oh, your chakras are off, or it would come with all these like worldly examples of that. At the end of the day, there's something off between you and Jesus, meaning like you're not experiencing his Sabbath rest. And Sabbath rest is more than just taking an entire day off. It's abiding with the Lord. It means that you probably have taken on too much in trying to help everyone and pay, like, work all these hours to pay all these bills. Maybe a lot of the bills you have are because you're spending too much money on things because you don't have peace. So you're drinking and you're smoking and you're stressed out and you're going out to the clubs and you're trying to escape. Anyway, buying things, thinking they're going to bring you happiness, you know, binging on movies and Netflix, and after doing all those and having lots of sex, whether married or unmarried, like, and realizing or looking at a lot of porn, masturbating all the time, realizing at the end of the day, you don't have peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that is mentioned in Philippians 4:6-9, where he says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and may the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, rule and reign in your hearts. Something like that. That's my paraphrase at the end. But anyway, you get my gist, hopefully. Or 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, yes. All right, so that was on the Kids Bible app. And then, as some of y'all listened to the podcast today from earlier this morning when I was super tired, I recorded it anyway, and it was talking about, we were in like Luke chapter 13, and we were reading about asking, seeking, knocking. And I was just telling my brother this, like, at the end of the day, God can either say yes, no, or not right now. But just something like when we're kids growing up, at some point we reach a relationship with our parents where we find out, like, they're not made of money, and that money doesn't grow on trees, and that, yeah, we stop asking our parents for stuff. But that doesn't mean we should stop asking our Heavenly Father for stuff. And at the end of the day, like I said, he can either say yes, no, or not right now. And he already knows what we have need of, N-E-E-D, not what we want. He knows we have need of before we ask. And a lot of times he'll even give us our wants, but he knows when he gives us the wants, if they're going to become idols in our hearts and cause us to lose focus on him and the things that he has called us to do here on earth. All right. So, yeah. So when I did that this morning before I fell asleep at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I recorded that, Luke 13. Now, today, when I woke up and I opened up the Bible app, after I read the kids version on Luke chapter 10, I read about Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Don't stop asking, don't stop seeking, don't stop knocking. Keep persistently asking in prayer for the things you desire, not to treat God like some genie. But it's hilarious. There's like, Do y'all know those like lift things? I'm talking to y'all like I can talk back, but there's these lift, motor lifts things that you can, that they use to like in construction or to like work on power lines or, yeah, you know, put new light bulbs in. Anyway, there's a big old motorized lift at the airport. I see it every time I'm there. And as I'm leaving, yeah, it's there. When I pick somebody up in the lower level row, the Uber lane, the rideshare lane, 2N. And as I'm leaving to the left, there's this big old blue Genie lift that says Genie on it. G-E-N-I-E. I guess that's a brand of lifts. And every time I see it, I think about that whole, when people say God is not a genie. And it's like, yeah, no, he's not a genie. He's better than a genie. He's not confined to a lamp, but that's a deeper discussion for another time. That could be a whole sermon. God is not a genie, but he's better than a genie. But all right, I just gave y'all a sermon title. But all right, yes, where was I? Ask, seek, knock. That was on the Bible app today. So yeah, Matthew 7, verse 8. In Luke 13 are parallel scriptures. Because as y'all know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all like how do I say it? They are the same, they're the gospels and they're the same story told four through the eyes of the lenses of four different people, through the eyes and lenses of Matthew, the former tax collector, former Levi, formerly known as Levi, and then Mark. I forgot what Mark used to do, what his job was. Luke was a physician or a doctor, and John, I forgot what his job was. I think John and Mark were fishermen. Anyway, it's interesting because each of them has a different writing style, and some of them are more detailed than others. Some of them are more short and to the point. But there you go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, and Luke chapter 13 discuss the same thing. Ask, seek, knock. Isn't that hilarious? Hilarious that I didn't know the Bible app was going to talk about the exact same thing that I was just talking about. That's one other thing I was going to tell y'all. Oh, quick story. This release should be on Invisiboy or whatever I'll call the other podcast eventually. But, so I had these beautiful young ladies that I picked up at this restaurant on the plaza called True Foods. One of them was from Minneapolis. One of them was from, I lived in Atlanta, north of Atlanta, near Cobb County. Anyway, they were here for work. There's some convention downtown for Casey's, the gas station that's known for making good pizza. And, man, they were gorgeous. And so anyway, I picked them up. And they were asking me different questions about fun things to do. They're only here for one night. And one more night. And they needed to stop at Walgreens. And I was like, the Walgreens they picked was on Broadway. And I was like, y'all are not from here, are y'all? And they're like, nope. And they told me all the stuff about where they're from. Yep. All right. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. But I was like, I probably want to go to the Walgreens on Rainbow. But for some reason, I couldn't find it on the GPS or on the app. So anyway, I was like, hey, what y'all can do is make this a round trip. That way I can just be waiting. Y'all have to wait at that Walgreens very long. And then y'all should be good because there is a security guard there. and then I'll just take y'all right up to your hotel. And that's what they did. And then we talked some more. And sometimes I'll just be telling these stories and they make sense in my head, but to the listener, they may not make sense. It probably sounds like goobity gobbity. All right. Anyway, somebody would get it, but it's just a lot of dots that connect. All right. So there's this guy I just met named Gary. Gary was asking me earlier that day what I did for an occupation. And I was joking with him, or I said, I am an ambassador. I was kind of joking, but not at the same time. I told him I'm an ambassador. And he's like, oh, ambassador for who? I was like, Jesus. I tell people about Jesus. And he was later on, he's like, so what do you do to like actually make money? I was like, oh, I do Uber full time. And so anyway, those girls, when I asked them what they were working for at the convention, like what kind of work they were doing, and they said that they were brand ambassadors. I forgot to ask them, like, for what brand. They didn't say it, but I usually try to let people volunteer that kind of information. But, yeah, they were brand ambassadors. I'm assuming that they were like brand ambassadors for like Red Bull or something, because Red Bull is notorious for hiring beautiful women to sell their products to their businesses and gas stations and restaurants. Anyway, what else? Finally, let's get to Leviticus 16, reading out of the King James Version, Day of Atonement. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, y'all remember, I think it was Nadab and Abihu, they didn't do some sacrifice or offering correctly or something like that. And, you know, God struck them dead as a result, because God didn't play. But it's wild. Once again, God is, according to scripture, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. He doesn't change. So he didn't play around with like disobedience and sin then, and he doesn't now. So, yeah, all right. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he died not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen meter shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall, you know, as far as I know, casting lots is like throwing dice. That's what they did at the feet of Jesus. Which makes sense, a little bit of sense. Yeah, they were casting lots for Jesus' clothes, I think, or something like that. They gambled over his clothes. Anyway. And the other lot for the scapegoat, verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Seven times, y'all. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of the uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in the place and to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Verse 18, and he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Or I guess hallow it. All right. Verse 20, And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So this a muscular dude, because he has to be strong enough to handle this goat. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. That's why if I was ever very famous and successful at a particular thing, especially like basketball, I would not want people calling me no goat. I'd be like, nah, don't be calling me no, I know it stands for greatest of all time. Don't be calling me that. The only God is the greatest of all time. He's the real goat. But anyway, and Jesus is the only one that is like this scapegoat, because I just learned a few years ago, I don't know what it was, I was doing some research. I didn't realize, I should have known this, but I guess goats and sheep are pretty much the same animal, but they're just so slightly different. I forgot what the main difference is, but like, what's the difference between a goat and a sheep? I'll let y'all go look that up on your own. But yeah, when Jesus died on that cross, he was a lamb that was slain. He is like this scapegoat. He took on all of our sins. It's funny, interesting, because we use that term scapegoat a lot in modern culture. It's used everywhere, but most people don't even know where that came from. I bet you if you ask the average person where the phrase scapegoat came from, they probably wouldn't know, because a lot of folks don't read the Bible. There's so many things in our society that are from the Bible. They have origins in the Bible, but unless you've read it, it won't make sense to you. Like, the true meaning behind what you're saying, these words that we just throw out. Verse 23, and Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there, and he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp, and the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung, and he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. It's interesting, I picked up this African dude, he looked Nigerian, from this laundromat. And it was interesting because he didn't have any clothes with him. And I asked him, like, where his clothes were. And he didn't, like, I guess he didn't understand what I was saying or something. I think he was, like, straight from the motherland. Like, he just came over yesterday. But I don't think he fully understood my English. Or maybe he did, and he just, like, none of your business, my brother. Well, he didn't want, anyway. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start acting like I have an accent and playing dumb folks, acting like I barely speak English. I need to, like, get an accent. I need to pick an accent and start learning, like, because I think I could pass for Ethiopian. And I got to look and see what that language is that the Ethiopians speak. I used to know. I forgot. And I'm going to start speaking it. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to start speaking in broken English. I'm going to be like, sorry,
my English is not very good. Hello.
And they start asking me how I'm doing.
Oh, sorry. English not very good. English no good.
I'm about to, this hair is growing. I'm growing out the sides too. I was gonna like fade it, but I think I'm just gonna let it grow. Where was I going with that? Oh, my bad, y'all. I got on a tangent. So this Nigerian who seemed like he didn't speak very good English, I picked him up at this laundromat, and I feel like I've met him before, or had him before. Anyway, I took him to his apartment, and when I looked to my right, there was this dude with a goat shirt on, and I didn't think much of it, but now it's all kind of clicking in my head. God wanted me to see that laundromat dude with a goat shirt on. Anyway, yeah, it said goat in big letters. I know that one meant greatest of all time, but I was like, file that away, it's gonna make sense later. And boom, here we are, read Leviticus 16, talking about scapegoats and washing your clothes. They had to burn. I bet that was stinky. They had to burn the dung of the goat and the skin, all that. Verse 29, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month of the tenth day of the month he shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Wow, bro, this is wild, y'all. Alright, I know that the Jewish calendar is different. So the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, let's look. Jewish calendar, seventh month would be, I'm going to save this picture. Wow, the first month of the calendar is Nisan. I drive a Nisan. Let's see here. Let's save this photo. All right, the seventh month is Tishri. Which is the summer figs dates. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. But what? Okay, here it goes. This is dope. All right, so the seventh month in the Jewish calendar would be September, October. But what I was going to say, all right, I was born in February, which would be Shavuot Eder. It's interesting, in our calendar, February is the second month in the year, but according to the Jewish calendar, it's the 11th and 12th month of the year. Looks like with me being born in the 26th, I was born during Adar, which should be the 12th month. Almond bloom, citrus harvest, pulling flax, Purim. I'm going to have a good little talk with my counselor about the Jewish calendar. Anyway, all right. Sorry. All right. Back to the word. All right. Let's just read verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. I need to look up a different version of this eventually to see why it says afflict. Like, what does it say in other translations? I don't want to do that. Yeah, we'll do that in a minute. But what I was going to say is my dad was born on July 10th. 7/10. I know it's different. But when it said seventh month on the 10th day, I was like, hey, this is my dad, July 10th, according to our Americanized calendar. I need to see the origins of the American calendar. I think it's the United calendar in the United States. I think it's based on, like, the Farmer's Almanac or something. I don't know who came up with that stuff. All right, let's keep going. No, let's do this real quick. Let's see what it says in the NLT for verse 29. Verse 29 says, on the 10th day of the appointed month in early autumn. Or it says on here, if I had read the NLT, which I normally would be reading, but for some reason I'm reading the KJV right now. It would have told me all this. Hebrew, on the 10th day of the 7th month. This day is in the ancient Hebrew lunar calendar occurred. This day in the ancient Hebrew lunar calendar occurred in September or October. Yep. All right, so it says, on the 10th day of the appointed month in early autumn, you must deny yourselves, or you must fast. What are we in right now? We're in May. No fasting time for us. All right, so you're supposed to fast, or it said in King James Version, afflict yourselves. Neither native-born Israelites nor foreigners living among you may do any kind of work. This is a permanent law for you. It's interesting because I had this. There's these debates in Christian circles and around. Yeah, should Christians keep all of these, like, laws and customs from the Old Testament? Like, should we be fasting on the seventh month of the 10th day on the according to the Jewish calendar? And many would say no, because I need to ask my grandma this. I'm gonna say, grandma, do you fast on the seventh month of the 10th day of the Jewish calendar, which would be sometime, September 10th or something. I'm going to ask her. Because she sure does keep the Ten Commandments and the specifically the Sabbath. Anyway, most Christians will say, no, we don't have to do that because we're no longer under the law. We're under the grace. Anyway, stay tuned on that. I'm going to share with y'all my next. Hopefully, I remember that question from my grandma. All right, verse 34. On that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So, yeah, Jesus is our high priest. When he died on the cross and then rose again on the third day, like, he atoned for our sins. So, we ain't got to do this little rule. But Jews, regular Jews, original Jews, they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So, or that he is God. So, they don't look to Jesus for their atonement. At least the ones that aren't the Messianic Jews, as far as I know, do, but not the regular Jews, the non-Messianic Jews. All right, or Orthodox Jews, I guess that's what they would call them. Verse 31, it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, or fast by statute, forever, and the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation, and this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages or the cost of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated or showed his love toward us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, verse 9 through 10. If we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouth we confess that we are now saved. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever, anybody, everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So if you would like to be saved today, you can simply say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen.